3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Another weekend is here, another Exfabula radio show on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter. As always, Leah Delaney is here, co-founder of Milwaukee Exfabula, with stories from past story slams, always on a theme. And this is where I toss it to you. The theme is
Doors Open Milwaukee.
Which is happening.
It is happening, and it's super happening in general. We can dig it. You know, Exfabula has our own little Doors Open Milwaukee events, and we call them Secret Fabulas. It's a chance for us to go out into the community and gather secrets and behind-the-scenes sort of stories from different businesses in Milwaukee. And these events are super fun, and it allows you, in a non-competitive storytelling format, to get up there and tell your own secrets or anything within the theme of those events happening. So basically, it's like treats for your ears and treats for your soul. So much fun. Yeah. And so we brought a couple stories from a couple of our Exfabula events, our Secret Fabulas. And we're going to start out today's show with a Secret Fabula that we held at the lovely and quaint Voyager Bookstore located in Bayview. Let's listen to a story from Co Douglas.
All right, everyone. Hello, hello. So I'm having to rethink my story because I was going to tell one actually about my love of microwave cookbooks. So brain kind of ruined that for me, unfortunately, but I'll tell a different story. So kind of an origin story, if you will. When I was 13 years old, I was in Nakusa, Wisconsin at my grandparents' house, and it was in the middle of winter. So obviously this is pre-internet, a lot of things that I might occupy myself with nowadays. And I was faced with this dilemma of what to do with myself with all the snow outside, and I was sitting on the couch. And I was faced in this moment where I felt at a crossroads, because I knew if I told my mom I was bored, she'd find something for me to do. Likely helping my grandmother in the kitchen, or possibly, maybe shoveling snow. So I looked over to the left and I saw this bookshelf. And at this point, I saw books as sort of punishment, like homework or something. I got these rectangles that were assigned to me. So I was pretty averse to that. But much like the heavenly glow that Anja saw, the light kind of came in off the snow and hit this book on the bookshelf. So I went a little closer, and I realized it was the largest collection I'd ever seen of Reader's Digest books, right? Well, one of these books was called Mysteries of the Unexplained. And it was interesting because I opened it up, and for me as a young kid, it just blew my mind, all these things. There was like the opening paragraph or the opening chapter was The Endless Search for Answers. And I started digging through this, and there's like Beyond the Walls of Time and monsters and things that 13-year-old Ko was absolutely just captivated by. And so for the first time in my life, I fell in love with a book. And I dove into that book that weekend, and I spent the entire weekend in this book, reading this book, and didn't want to put it down, tried to take it with me. It was I was not allowed to because I couldn't break up the Reader's Digest collection of books. So I left it, but that book stayed with me, and I continued to think about it. So every time I would go back, I would re-engage with this book. And but what I realized in looking at this book is I just recently rediscovered it. I'm going through and I'm looking at all these titles like Monsters and Beyond the Walls of Time. And what I realized is that book still stays with me, because a lot of the things that I think about now as an editor, I edit fiction. I edit fiction for Revelor Press. It's a press out of Seattle. The things I write about, I'm a writer and I'm also an editor and a reader, an avid reader. These things are all kind of in this book. So, like, I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is an aside. But, you know, these all things were catalyzed when I was 13 years old in this book. And I wonder, had I not encountered this, you know, if these things would be interests of mine. And so I look around bookstores and I think of all the possibilities that we can, if we engage in literature, the things that can happen. Because at that moment in my life, there was this real illumination of ideas of reader and writer kind of coming together. And so I guess, keep this story brief. But the moral of this story, what I realized is that everything that, and this is a secret I'm going to tell you guys, is that most of what I think about now I owe to Reader's Digest. And so, thank you. And that's what I have to say.
And that was Co Douglas with his short yet sweet story about his relationship with books and libraries.
Yeah.
We have a really fantastic, important event that's going to be held at the Italian Community Center on Saturday, September 29th. It's an all-day affair. And that event's theme is young African-American breast cancer survivors. So we're going to really get in depth in the background in personal stories of these survivors. And you also get up-to-date research on breast cancer survivors, racial disparities in Wisconsin. So very important event, and we're very happy to be partnered up with it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have our next story slam, which is going to be at Sugar Maple.
Yay!
Yeah, great friends. Small venue, so definitely get your tickets behind.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the last event that we had at Sugar Maple, there were people like lined up out the door,
outside,
like, well,
on
come
the sidewalk.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, well, we always come, and I'm like, yeah, we love you coming, but we also love people who get their tickets ahead of time, so we don't have to squeeze fire code issues and stuff like that. So please come. The theme is going to be misunderstood. I can't imagine anyone having a story about being misunderstood.
I can't think of any.
And just as an FYI, this is going to be one of our non-competitive story slams. So it'll be more of like a free-flowing, don't feel the need to win story slam, but definitely share your personal stories.
All right.
So all of that information and the tickets can be found on xfabula.org. Now, back to the second story. You spent a lot of time here, huh?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in libraries, and I spent a fair amount of time at Bryant's as well.
That's great, because I feel like they go hand in hand. Well, only well-read people go to Bryant's Cocktail Lounge
anyway.
One of our smarty pantses, and a fantastic element to Milwaukee and Wisconsin, Kyle Cherick, who's our Wisconsin foodie. He showed up at one of our Secret Fabula events to tell a story. His original story is 20 minutes long or so. So we kind of like narrowed it down a little bit to a solid 7 minutes. And it's such a great story. So let's listen to Kyle Cherick with our Secret Fabula Bryant's Cocktail Lounge.
There were two or three bartenders behind the bar. And one of them, I'll never forget, was Mr. Jimmy. And he was right there in the corner. Now, those were the days when Bryant's made these, well, they still do, but they were known for these sort of huge, flaming, fabulous concoctions, the pink squirrel and the banshee, which are still on the menu, but that's one of the reasons why people came here. And Mr. Jimmy had this, the same sort of thing that musicians use to hold music, right? This sheet stand right there with a lamp over it. And I can still picture the mise en place, the spinning, this round little device that had the cherries and the oranges and everything in there. And he looked up, and he looked back down, and then he looked up, and his eyes met mine, and he spun it. And it was like expensive chrome tires filled with confetti. And I thought, is he going to card me? Is he going to slug me? Or should I have a jacket on? I don't know. Anyway, he was a big man. He sort of filled out that vest and bow tie and white shirt. And even though he was somewhat older, at one time I think he'd been a lot more muscular, you had the sense that he was sort of, he was here to stay, and he'd been filled with air from beneath. And at any time he could either hug you because he hadn't seen you in 20 years or leap across the bar and tell you to sit down. So we did. And another couple came in. They were cute. There was a Hispanic couple, and they went and sat in that corner. And I remember Shirley Lafferty going over and asking them what they'd like. And he said a Miller Lite, and watching her sort of deflate a little bit. They didn't quite get it, but that's okay. Everybody was welcome at Bryant's. We proceeded with a bit of small talk, Krista and I, and Shirley came over and asked what our drinks would be. And I wanted the whole experience. So thank you, Shirley, for putting us through your paces and telling us about all of the menu and how things worked and giving us this terrific variety of cocktails. And because I thought I was sort of clever, vaguely handsome, and had some rakishness, I'm sure I said the worst things in the world to her, at which point you said, we've got a cocktail called the Suffering Bastard. I think that'd be good for you. Okay. So that's what I got. Now, John, help me out. A suffering bastard is every spirit ever distilled known to man with a little bit of tonic or something, right? No, but seriously, it's gin.
Yeah. Brandy.
It's brandy. Vodka.
Maybe.
And two or three other things. It comes in these tall glasses that look as if you'd taken a shock of bamboo and turned them into glass. So it's not a small sipping cocktail, though it ought to be. And we proceeded to talk. Krista ordered something huge and flaming. The conversation was not. And the suffering bastard started to take hold. When Shirley came back and asked me if how I enjoyed my drink, and I'll never forget this because it actually stopped you cold for a moment, and I was so proud of myself for actually being as clever as I thought, I asked Shirley if she had tripped over my ass on the way to the table because the drink had knocked it off. In any event, yes, I ordered another. Krista was still working on her purple flaming cocktail. And a few more people came in, and the great classic music of Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, etc., just sort of filled in the space. The evening seemed to be going about as well, honestly, as I thought it would while I was getting my training wheels back on, thinking romance could be possible in my life at some point again. It was then when Shirley walked up to that center booth in this bar and said, "You've got to leave. Someone threw a feral possum into the bar." Now, I'm buzzed on Suffering Bastards, and I stop the movie in my head, and I reverse it, and I think, you know, there was a point when I was trying to make conversation with Krista that I did see this door kind of flip open and close really quickly, and nobody entered or left. It's a magical night. Why would I question that? And we just sat there and blinked and looked at her, and she said, "No, really, there's a feral possum in the bar. The police department has been called, and we need to leave." And some people need to travel to Europe for adventures. I just had to come to Bryant's. So, sure enough, within a minute or two, squad car lights pulled up. We exited that door. Police went in this one. And this was the amazing thing. We were all standing on the corner. At that point, there were maybe 12 or 15 patrons in the bar. The bartenders, Mr. Jimmy and Shirley and everyone else, went outside. Whoever was sort of in charge at the bar stayed inside. And not one, not two, but three squad cars pulled up. And I remember thinking, really? Is it that bad? A feral possum? I mean, first of all, great joke. Second of all, how dangerous can it be? You guys just sort of want maybe some time off the streets, or this is novel. And I don't mean to deride Milwaukee's police department, but they sort of stood around outside, I think probably figuring out what they were going to do. But they sort of had that nonchalance, the way that cops in movies, you know, the extras, when it's sort of like there's a spy movie and the FBI and the CIA are there, but they've closed down the street. And so it's just the cops in uniforms in the background all just sort of filling in the scene. That's what was happening right there in the corner. The fun part was when this sweet couple that was so clearly on their first date showed up, saw the crowd, but reached for the front door, and just as he was grabbing it, I said, you can't go in. There's a feral possum in there. And he froze with his hand on the door. I said, no, really, there's a feral possum inside the bar. I think they're going to shoot it. And he slowly took his hand off the door, and she looked at him and said, I told you this was a bad idea. Nobody comes to these old places. And when they do, they throw an animal in. And it was like, no, you don't get it. It's normally true. Okay, we can't help you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
And that was Monsieur Kyle Cherik giving us his little stories.
Every time I've been to Brian's, all the creatures have been humanoid. There haven't been any possums or anything inside there.
Right. But, I mean, you can't really see very well because it's so dark in there. So you never know. There might be animals sitting there having a cocktail.
Maybe under the table. Who knows?
Having an aviation, enjoying themselves. But so those were our Secret Fabulous stories today. We're going to have more of those events coming up this season, season 10. So, you know, all of the information regarding our tickets for our story slams and special events and partnerships and memberships can be found at exfabula.org.
All right. And if you want to hear these cool stories once again, or you want to share them with friends and family, here they are up and posted at wuwm.com with pictures, too.
Hooray. Thanks for that.
Yeah. And we'll see you next week.
Fabulous.